Come on, Norster Kenius.
I always like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketing! Border charcoal, that bastard!
Beast!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish Conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that, and
of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny! Do not vomit me!
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 112 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, November 14th. This is Aaron. This episode, we talk about winning on the road, power play, and the fate of Eck. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Good evening.
So, how was the week for everyone here? I guess for at least... statistically speaking, half of our audience was a terrible week. The other half was a really good week, just statistically speaking.
Statistically speaking. Right. We'll re-poll our audience in a year.
Right. It was actually, I was in Washington, D.C. over the last 4 days. I got back late last night, and it was interesting being, it was an interesting time to be in Washington, D.C. We were actually about two blocks away from the Trump Hotel. In downtown Washington, D.C., and there was protests, let me tell you. Yeah. So, it was interesting. I unfortunately didn't get to see a Caps game or anything like that. Yeah. Nothing really fun in that regard. But
no.
I did get to see Rob Zombie Pinball, though, in the person.
Oh, how was it? Did you get to play?
No, it was dead.
The
right flipper was broken on it. Or left flipper.
Jeez.
I got there, and then the repair guy came in, and he was starting to fix the fuses, and I was like, oh, a fuse problem. That's not good.
No.
So I don't know what was wrong. We didn't want to stick around because it was already a line waiting to, like, play the machine. So wow.
A line waiting to play a machine with a dead flipper.
Yeah. Well, the flipper was fine, but, you know, when you lose a fuse on a pinball machine, you can lose portions of the entire machine. So it was more than just a flipper. It was like the slingshot and one of the pop bumpers and this and that.
Yeah.
Some of the lights weren't working, you know. And so they replaced one fuse and some things still weren't working. And I was like, I'll come back later. And I never made it back.
Did they have other games there?
Yeah, they did. They had Doctor Who. They had Whodunit. They had a Hobbit.
Never played that one before. Whodunit.
Yeah, it's a crazy machine.
Yeah.
They had a... Royal Rumble,
WWF, yeah.
With tons of Macho Man saying, oh, yeah!
Wait, is that the one that has the four slingshots up at the top?
No, this old school.
This is old school. Yeah. This is with the Macho Man, Hulkamania going on.
Yeah.
Little Bret the Hitman Hart going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, enough about my stupid trip. Should we talk hockey?
Let's talk hockey.
All right.
So, Jive, me and you each kind of had a right prediction last weekend.
Kind of.
I mean, there was an overtime game, but the Wild won, and it wasn't against the team we were thinking.
Right.
And actually, this whole past week kind of almost did a 180 on what we both predicted.
And what we would expect of the Wild.
Yeah, Aaron, I don't remember. I just remember me and Jive each had an OT loss in there.
I had 1-2, so I know I had.
So you were still backwards as well.
Because the Wild never win an OT, right?
Well, never.
I know I didn't have them winning against Pittsburgh. So.
None of us did.
So,
and that was our one actual full-on win. They beat Pittsburgh 4-2.
Regulation win, you're thinking.
Regulation win. Yeah. Without giving up a point.
All right.
They did allow two power play goals. Against Pittsburgh, but that's all Pittsburgh got. Our hometown boy, Phil Kessel, ended up assisting on both of those.
I like hot dogs.
Overall, it was a great game for the Stahl-Nino Coyle line, each getting a goal, Stahl getting two assists, and Nino and Coyle each getting another assist. Big shots on goal that game. 85 combined shots between the two teams. I mean, that a lot. And
good excitement for the for the fans there.
You know, yeah. it was a great game from that standpoint. And Suter actually played over half the game. I mean, this has to be close to.
And I believe that was his first 30-minute game of the season, according to Russo.
I think so. Yeah, 32-17. So yeah. I mean, he's obviously his minutes are not getting cut back.
Well, I mean, considering we're this far in the season, this is just finally his first game. That's actually pretty impressive.
And you also have to take a look at our current defensive core and all the hits we've taken. So
yeah, I mean, that actually makes it even more impressive, considering Spurgeon missed a bunch of time. Scandella's obviously out right now. Considering both of those two have missed a significant amount of time, and this is just now finally the first time he's hitting 30.
It's pretty good.
Pretty interesting. Yeah.
So, you know, that was basically the Pittsburgh game. You know, we won, surprisingly, in Pittsburgh, because our numbers in Pittsburgh have not been that good. Two nights later, we're in Philly. We lose 2-3. The Nino Stahl coil line, though, did start off the game with the first goal again. And the Wild also did give up another power play goal. So the power play was not looking as well as it has been previously, but still is still sitting pretty good. And then back-to-back games. So yesterday, Sunday, we were in Ottawa. The puck dropped 22 hours after the puck drop in Philly. Suter got a shorthanded goal, the first goal of the game. It was actually a pretty goal. Stahl got another point in that game with an assist. Dumba gets the game-winning goal in 3-on-3 overtime. Kemper, his first game since mid-October, 35 saves with one goal against. And actually, the goal against, it was questionable whether there was goalie interference with it. And he played a very solid game, and he was looking rock solid. He had some amazing saves that game.
So I probably look like a crazy guy on the flight back, because we're on the airplane. That we're in overtime. I've got the Wild or the NHL app on my phone. I'm listening to it, and I'm surrounded. I didn't go to the Vikings game. The Vikings were in Washington, D.C.
That's right.
And so it's all these mourning Viking fans on the plane. And I'm just like, yeah. You know.
Wrong sport.
Wrong. Yeah. Well, right sport.
Right sport. They're thinking, yeah.
Right. They're just, well, because they're Vikings fans, they're losers. So
with those three games, actually, Halla made an unexpected, or at least unexpected to me, he made the trip out.
Right.
And he did play all three games. I actually got some decent minutes. I mean, he was, you know, 14, almost 15, and then 17 and a half. He was playing penalty kill minutes. He was playing on the 3-on-3, which he assisted on Dumba's goal. He was actually looking pretty solid. You know, Stahl would look great, obviously, 5 points in the last three games. But with Stahl and his line in particular, you know, there's speculation of Parise possibly coming back against Calgary tomorrow night. You know, what's Boudreau going to do with that top line? Is he going to, where is Parise going to land? Is he going to break up that line that's been actually producing quite a bit?
There's no way he breaks up the Nino Stahl coil line. Unless one of them gets hurt, there's no way that's happening. I mean,
so is that going to relegate Parise to line number two? Line number?
What's a number? I mean, You're looking at minutes, you know.
And I still think that Parise is your top line guy when he comes back. And honestly, I think that Nino in the mix there is going to be the odd man out, and he will get bumped back down. So,
well, and I know we don't really have it on our show docket, but one thing that needs to be brought up, and Derek's actually bringing it up, is how great Suter has played up to this point.
Suter has been playing pretty solid.
You know, he's getting points in just about every game, and he's not playing 1,000 minutes every night. You know,
right?
It's working out for him, hopefully, and it seems to be working out for the Wild. Hopefully, it can stay working out. You know,
yeah.
So, Aaron, you are thinking that Parise will end up maybe Koivu, Granny Parise?
Yeah, probably something like that. I mean,
drop Pominville down to.
Well, right. I mean, what has Pominville done for us lately?
Not much.
I mean, Granny's at least been scoring, which you really can't say. Pominville, I don't know what the hell his problem is.
Did we just go back a year?
I know it's the same broken record, you know, on repeat. But I don't know what we're going to do with Pominville. He doesn't seem to be clicking with anyone, whereas, you know, in years past, at least he'd have times where he's clicking with Granny or whatever.
You just need to get Vanek back for him?
Send him back to Buffalo or something, I guess.
So, Kemper, you know, Sunday, yesterday, he looked great. He looked like he wanted to be top dog again. His saves, like we had said, he had some spectacular saves going on. You know, so is he back in as a competitive second goalie that we can count on for 20 to 22 games?
Well, I don't know. Kemper has always been kind of streaky. He's got his good times and he's got his bad times. His good times can be really, really great. His bad times can be not so great.
And, good Kemper. Bad Kemper.
Right.
Well, he is 2-1 right now.
Right. And, I mean, so...
But when he's bad, he's bad.
He's bad. But right now, as the backup to Dubnyk, I don't have any qualms with that. I mean, I can see Kemper coming into a game and expect that he's going to put forward his best effort. And I think he knows his role on the team right now at this point, and I think he's kind of accepted that. I know, you know, there was times past where, you know, he felt that he, you know, should have had that number one spot, but I think that, you know, he definitely knows his role on the team now, and I don't know. I think he's, so far this year, I've got no worries about him being the number two.
Well, and this was a back-to-back situation, so we definitely need him there.
We've got a few back-to-back situations remaining.
We've got one coming up near the end of the month, and we've got a lot of game-on, game-off situation, day-on, day-off, where Boudreau might want to rest Dubnyk. And considering this big gap at the beginning here where we had 3 days off, 4 days off between games, it's been, I think I was reading Russo, it's been like 3 weeks since Kemper started last. So
right.
You need to have him skate to be ready for some of these games.
Definitely.
There's no sense in grinding Dubnyk down at this point in the season, especially when you haven't completely lost hope of Kemper being able to win games.
Yeah.
So whether he's going to, you know, win us a ton of games, if Dubnyk goes down, am I going to be worried? Yes, because Dubnyk's played very well.
Yeah.
That's
something you can't replace, how Dubnyk has been playing.
Right. But at the same point, Kemper at this point is at least a serviceable backup. He obviously can win games, which is what we need. It's just a matter of, can he do it consistently?
Yeah.
All right. That game also, we saw our first 3-on-3 win of the season, our first overtime win.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were a couple of surprising lines out there. You know, it started off Stahl, Coyle, Brodin. Then Koivu, Granny, and Brodin was kind of left on the ice, but I think Suter was supposed to be the one originally with that line. My favorite was the Hall of Zucker Suter line, where you kind of had gliding Suter in the back with two speedy guys up front. And then the line that actually won it was Hall of Granny and Dumba. Did you guys have a favorite combo that you saw out there, or that you'd like to see more, that you'd expect more production out of if we have to get into this situation again?
For 3-on-3?
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely, you know, my thought on the 3-on-3 at least is speed. And you want speed and the players who can get out into the open ice and, you know, make a move. Minus speed, I do like Coyle, because Coyle has, I think, a lot of finesse that can go well out there. But besides that, I do like the Zuckers and the Hollas out there at that time, because the ice is wide open, and that's, I think, where you're likely to get your big game-winning goal is, you know, somebody streaking down the ice, and, you know, there's a lot bigger chance, I think, of a player being, you know, open in a situation when there's speed and you can find that. So I definitely would lean towards speed with the Zuckers and the Hollas.
Well, I mean, and not to look at our at the lines that we had, you know, I want to construct a 3-on-3 where you've got some speed, both defensively and offensively, someone that's solid defensively, and then some guys that can score. I think Holla fits both. He's both defensively solid and fast.
Well, yeah. That's why he's been playing the PK minutes also.
Right. Granny, we know he's willing to throw his body on the line. He's still got some speed to him.
I can agree.
And Dumba is also very fast. And the only problem is he's not super defensively sound.
Right.
He takes some risks that, you know,
right.
Had his goal not gone in, you would have seen Holla and Granny backpedaling super hard.
Right.
So, I mean, well, he was supermanning it out to get that goal in.
That right. That's part of it. But you also have to look, though, at, you know, I mean, he's taking a chance when there's an ample opportunity to score. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Having that sense of, you know, when it's okay to go and when it's time to drop back is a big deal. But you'd hope that in a 3-on-3 situation, it's going to be, you know, you're leaning towards protecting. But if there's a golden opportunity, you're going to take it, you know?
Well, and I did like that Boudreau made a point that he's trying to make those line changes quick. And you know, the line's time on the ice has got to be fast.
Yep. Keep them fresh.
Because when you're going up and down, you need turnover. You need some churn there.
Yep.
You need fresh legs.
Yep.
Because that's the one thing you don't want to do is be stuck deep and have to try to go back and try to defend after you've made a really, you know.
And your legs are rubber.
Right.
You can't get across ice because that's the thing. It's 3-on-3. Any sort of movement around, shifting around, and next thing you know, your rubber legs, you can't keep up and you got a guy open. So,
right.
Which is definitely, you know, where, you know, pointing to the speed and stuff of like Hollows and even the Zookers.
Well, that was kind of going to be to my point, though, is that Zucker doesn't have a very good shot.
Yeah.
So he's got the speed, and as long as
he can set somebody up with it.
But he hasn't really shown that in spades, though, either. So if I'm having to choose between, say, him and Holla or Granlund, I'm going to pick Holla or Granlund.
Okay.
So that's why, you know, I don't know that Dumba's my favorite defensive guy on that, you know, 3-on-3. I mean, if Scandella were healthy, I'd, you know, Scandella, Holla, Granlund, I'd probably like that a little bit more. But I can't argue with it. You can't argue with the results, that's for sure.
Nope.
No, the results do speak for themselves. And actually, talking about that, you know, having a speedy guy, having a guy with hands, and having somebody who's very solid defensively, you know, Granny set that up with his hands. He broke that through. Dumba happened to come in and catch that rebound off of it. But, you know, it doesn't hurt having Holla up there with some legs to actually be able to create something like that on top of it.
Sure.
So, last question with this last week. Stahl managed to get 5 points in the last 3 games. He's leading the Wild right now with 13 points, 5 goals, 8 assists, tied with Suter for assists. And he's now 1/3 of his total points from his last year with 39 in 83 games because he got traded and happened to get an extra game in there. Does he slow down with his scoring as the season progresses, or do you predict him getting like a 50, 60, 70 point year?
Well, I mean, if he's putting up 60, 70 points in the season, the Wild got lucky or made, you know, that was the proverbial diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
Will he do that? I mean, I don't know.
I think that it's definitely possible with him. I mean, he's proven before that, you know, he can put points up. And if he continues to have his opportunity on the, you know, on the top line with the Wild, I think that definitely will, you know, only benefit him. He's getting plenty of ice time, so there should be plenty of opportunities.
He is. I think he was averaging like just under 20 minutes a game right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're getting a shot every 5 minutes you're out there, that's 4 shots a game. And There's definitely opportunities there.
All right.
So, all right. So go on to the wild card here. Why not? So in news as far as, you know, what's going on with the team, the Wild have a big choice to make. Right now it's sounding like they may lean one way, but Chuck Fletcher is going to have to decide whether to keep Joel Eriksson Ek around. He's played 9 games so far this year. He plays one more game. He will use up a contract year. Otherwise, the Wild can send him down to Iowa or back to Sweden and save a year on the contract. Given that he's played intermittently thus far, he's had flashes where he's been very good, but he's had places where he's been invisible. He's going to be getting third or fourth line minutes, so you know you have to kind of factor that in as well. If you're Chuck Fletcher, what do you do?
I think they probably should have sent him back 3 games ago and not let him take this road trip, or at least healthy scratched him. I mean, we're kind of in a situation
he has been healthy scratched, I think, last game or two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
if you look at his first 4 games were great. I think he got, 3 assists and 2 goals or something like that.
He was doing so well, people are like Calder candidate, you know?
He looked great. So his 6 after that, he did not register a shot on goal. And the only thing he contributed was a -1 and 2 penalty minutes. And it's like, you know, I don't know.
You have to look at what the rest of the team was doing during that stretch, too. I mean,
I'm pretty sure there was a couple of shutouts in that, or at least one.
Right, shutouts, but the Wild definitely weren't putting up huge points at that time either.
This is true, I mean, we're not looking at the team. We're looking at him, like, should he have been up or should he have...
Right.
Been gone, and I'm saying he should have been gone. I think, you know, he did have a nice little jump at the beginning, and it was great. You know, he needed to prove himself, but I think he needed to continue proving himself. I mean, the fact that he didn't even register a shot on goal in his past 6 games, you know, that's, to me, saying, no, send him back. Let him continue development and save a year on his contract.
Well, and that said, I mean, if you look back to how the Wild dealt with Dumba back when he was just a youngster. And he's still a youngster, but back then, I mean, they did the exact same kind of thing with Dumba. You know, they had him up here. I think he got a couple shots at it, and then they're like, yeah, let's...
save a year.
Yeah, let's save a year. Let's let you continue to develop. Because that's the thing is, you know, if they can go back somewhere and improve on their skills and come back in and be able to, you know, play with confidence in the NHL from the get-go, and, you know, maybe not be playing down on that third or fourth line spot. Instead, you're, you know, maybe playing that second line spot. I think it's definitely, probably worth it to, save the year on the contract.
So do you say send them back to Sweden, or do you say send them down to Iowa, where hopes tend to go and die?
At this point, I would not want to put him down in in the system down in Iowa. I would say send him back to Sweden.
Sweden?
I my only fear about sending him to Sweden is that the Wild's depth isn't awesome, especially with forwards, and that's the only part I really worry about.
I mean, if we got to call him back from Sweden, though, it's going to be a 10 game, and he's going to be up for, it's going to be giving up a year, so we're probably going to have him up no matter what.
Not necessarily. I mean, you can still burn up a year, and you burn up a year. You know, hopefully you have a need for him beyond just 10 games. So, yeah. So, cool.
All right, with that, why don't we get into the other movements and whatnot. Eric Halla, we mentioned his name a little bit earlier. He made his way back. He had an assist, as we mentioned last night. And other than that, I mean, not a real boisterous return. But
he's had his PK minutes though, which I think has definitely helped out.
That's a big thing to have around. Yep. So, but other than that, I mean, we're still looking. You know, Scandella, he's out on injured reserve now. So who knows how long he's going to be out. They say it's a high ankle sprain.
He's got until at least the 25th, I think he has to be on IR. So
conveniently through Thanksgiving. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a turkey.
Coming from the one dad in the room.
That's more like it. That's more like it.
Okay. But yeah, Parisi remains out. As you mentioned earlier, Kenny, you know, hopefully we're looking to see him back. I know he's been skating and practicing, yeah. So, you know, hopefully, if not against Calgary, one of these, you know, it's a homestand we got coming up here. So hopefully one of those games he can jump in there. And then Dalpy's out too, from what I understand. So. So, I mean, but really when we're looking at this so far, I mean, the Wild have had quite a few injuries that they've had to deal with here. You know, players in and out of the lineup, defensively, offensively, you know, but still they're maintaining, you know, they're above 500 still. So the record hasn't seemed to suffer horribly because of this. You know, and I mean, we've seen big players, Parisi, Scandella, Spurgeon. I mean, these are big parts of the Minnesota Wilds team, and you know, we still seem to be managing along, and we're doing better than I think just floating. At this point,
just still in the division of death.
Yes, we are, and you know. But, you know, why do you guys think that we might still be having some of this success, even though we're, you know, minus some of these pieces? Do we really actually, I mean, I know we keep talking about how the depth isn't there in Iowa, but do we have the depth that's, you know, able to cover this now? Is it just because we got such spectacular goaltending, or you guys got another idea for what?
I think our goaltending has helped in the last couple of weeks for sure. Dubnyk's been rock solid. I mean, you know, a few losses here and there, but generally speaking,
you can't win them all.
You can't win them all, and it's not like it's been blowout games.
Well, I gotta say, goaltending is an easy choice, but really, you also need a team that's playing defensively in front of you, and they've been playing very well, defensively in front of Dubnyk to make it so the saves he has to make are. I don't want to say they're easy saves, but they're less
manageable.
They're manageable, yes. Right. He's not, you know, I remember in the past years, you know, we've had issues where our goalies are scrambling all the time and having to stand on their head because of defensive meltdowns. But maybe this defensive core has finally grown together enough where they're really getting their prime.
Yeah.
And they're just solid.
A lot of them have been playing together now for years. So
that
is a very good point that, you know, they know where each other are going to be. They know each other's habits, when the other, you know, partner is going to be heading to a corner or something like that. Those types of things. I mean, some of those things you can't coach, really. I mean, it's, you know, it's a sixth sense.
But it's hard to argue with Boudreaux.
Boudreaux, huh?
It's hard to argue with him having... Because what's the difference this year compared to last year? Because most of the players are the same.
Hall is not in the doghouse.
Yo, well, Torch, and Boudreaux. Those are the differences. Okay.
I mean, it's a difference.
Oh, we don't have the distractions of Suter getting a DWI.
Sutter.
Two T's.
Two T's.
TT.
Or three cocktails.
Okay.
Sador is what you're thinking of.
Sador.
Sador.
Yes, Sador.
There we go.
Wow.
Daryl.
D- Daryl.
Yeah.
Daryl.
I'm Daryl. This is my other brother, Daryl.
There we go. That guy. Driving his kid to hockey practice.
Maybe we should outlaw. Maybe we need Trump to outlaw drunk podcasting because this show isn't going so hot right now.
Or enforce it. Okay. So we got a Boudreaux. We've got, you know, Gaultier. It's kind of a mix of things, but I can kind of agree with the Boudreaux call. I mean,
right.
Definitely Boudreaux has not been afraid to make a change. If there is, you know, a line that is not performing, underperforming, or not doing what is he expects to see, I think he is not shy and he will make changes and moves to suit that. So,
but that's also a little unfair because Yo got so much crap over constantly juggling lines.
Yeah,
and I don't know that I was critical on them. I'd have to listen back 100 some episodes and see if I was critical back then.
Yeah.
But you know, at the same point, you can't say that we're winning because Boudreaux's shuffling lines,
right,
and we're losing because Yo was shuffling lines. It's, you know, maybe Boudreaux just knows the right combinations. I don't know.
Yeah. He knows chemistry.
Dr. Boudreaux.
You know, if you have two people, if you put me up next to somebody juggling knives and somebody has been doing it for years and I tried doing it, I'd probably have cuts on my hands and they'd probably be okay. So Boudreaux could just be a better juggler than Yo.
Maybe that's it. So Yo's got cuts on his hand.
Maybe.
He's a cutter.
Could be. Oh. I mean, he might
be. Are you sure he's not a setter?
Or a suitor. He could be a suitor.
Who is he suiting?
I don't know. Yeah. We're sorry. This show is definitely taking a turn here. Okay. So, moving on. Let's talk about the next week, right?
Yeah.
We've got 3-game homestand coming up, right? Flames, Bruins, Avalanche.
Yeah.
And then our favorite team from the South next Monday.
Arizona?
No.
Florida?
Our favorite team.
Tampa Bay?
No.
Anaheim?
Oh, wait.
Nashville?
Our favorite.
The Macon Whoopee?
Our favorite green.
The Arrows? They moved. Oh, you're talking about the Wild, the Iowa Wild, because they're in the South.
That's right.
North Dakota's north of us.
No, Dak. Yes, it's the Stars. And just to note, we will be doing our podcast following that game.
Directly
next
after.
Monday. Right? So, you know, pretty wild week coming up here. We've got a lot of visitors coming in. What do you guys think? I mean, we got the Flames, the Bruins, the Avalanche. I mean, we're talking like Saturday and Monday. We've got a couple of, I think, highly contested opponents that we definitely like to do battle with. A
couple little divisional games there.
Yeah, with the Avalanche and the Stars. So
I think Boston's going to be coming in and looking for some revenge. And, you know, I think we can hold our own. Calgary is not looking too hot right now. You know, they're kind of.
You've never heard that before.
For a Flame, I mean, they're pretty mild for a Flame. Colorado, I think, is going to be a good game. It usually is between us and them. And I mean, the Stars are not too far behind us right now, and I think that's going to be another tight game.
Well, yeah, in these division games, I think even early in the season, I think that they're going to mean a lot come the end of the season because these are your opportunities to create some of that space between you and them.
Widen the gap.
Yes, widen the gap. And, you know, where you look down the road now, we've got, you know, several games left, so it's not – not really on your radar, but
right.
These little ones in the beginning. I mean, that's if you get an outright win in regulation against a team like, say, the Stars, who you might be battling with for a wild card position, even
right.
You know, that 4-point swing, that's gonna be worth a lot.
It is. So what do you think? How do you think this little span's gonna? How do you think the Wild are gonna do over this little span here?
How do I feel they'll do?
Yeah,
I feel that they're gonna come home. I think that, you know, we're doing okay. We're above 500, but I can't say that we have consistently seen great effort from the Wild. I don't know. I'm going to say that we're going to go probably 500 over the next week, actually. Two wins, two losses. One of those might be an OT loss because we're not going to win two OTs in a row.
Ooh. A little negative on the overtime, huh?
Little negative on the overtimes or
Aaron,
for time
what's
old?
Your thought?
I don't know.
You know, I'm feeling pretty positive about these matchups. I think the Flames and Bruins are ones that the Wild should be able to win. The Avalanche Stars ones, if you told me they won one of those and lost the other, I'd feel pretty good. And so that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go 3-1. And if I'm winging it, I'm going to say we'll lose against the Stars, but that's just because they're the road team. So,
we might actually. The Wild have been kind of surprising in arenas that they've had not very much success in,
yeah.
like in the past year and a half, I would say. You know, and I think we can go into Dallas and actually take a win from them in Dallas. I think it's going to be a tough win, but I think we can get the win. The Avs game, I think, is going to be the one that's going to go either way, and I'm going to go with two wins with Flames Bruins. I'm going to go 3-1 also, with the Avs being the possible deciding game. Now, here's a question for you guys. We're going every other game starting tomorrow through next Monday, every other day, day on, day off, day on, day off. Do we see Kemper for any of these, and how many?
I think we'll see him for one game. That's it.
Yeah. I think that he's definitely probably earned the right to at least get one more game this coming week when you do have, you know, four games, you know.
Is he the
back to back or not back to back, but
right.
I mean, they're fairly close.
Is
together.
He the Wild goalie that's always had good luck against Colorado? I can't remember.
No, Dubnyk's had really good
in recent history. There's been like one Wild goalie that's always been like rock solid against Colorado.
Well, in recent history, everyone beats Colorado.
Well,
but,
I heard we're bringing Wabak out of retirement for a game to play for us. We'll put him in net against Colorado.
Why not?
Why not?
You can't be any worse than Captain Jean-Luc Picard or the drunken spouse abuser. So
Varlamov?
Yeah, Varlamov.
Yeah.
Twitter talk?
Twitter talk.
Why not? Okay, first question. Mr. Derek Felska at State of Hockey News. If you had to redesign the MN Wild power play, what combination of players would you put together at this point? And the power play, that's been an interesting one because the power play hasn't been terribly good. PK has been awesome.
We did get a power play goal against Pittsburgh.
True. But overall, it's been mediocre-ish. You know, I don't know what... I mean, the Wild like to do the setup, pass around a box, and look for something, and I just don't feel like that's working. They're not giving enough looks on their power play,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think they're really challenging. So I don't know that a combination of players would really fix anything at this point. I think they need to rethink their strategy in the power play and change it up a little bit. I don't know. Maybe I'm alone in that in that regard.
It takes a certain amount of patience to play that type of a power play, because the goal when you're moving it around the outsides is that eventually somebody comes open on the back side, and I don't know if maybe there's just not enough movement.
You never
on
the see back it. Side. You never
that,
see
that's
that.
The thing is, we don't ever get that cross ice pass to that guy who's well open on the outside.
Or if it is, it's such a soft pass that it's easily intercepted and sent back down the ice.
Right. So, maybe patience isn't even enough. Maybe, I won't disagree that, maybe we rethink it and do something. But I guess I would like to see maybe a little bit more of the younger guys get a chance on there. The Coils.
Can't be any worse.
The Meter Riders.
Isn't Coil on the top power play right now?
Yeah, but I'm saying put them together. Like a Coil, a Meter Rider, and maybe a Holler or something like that.
What if we just keep our top line out there right now with Stahl, Nino, and Coil?
Is that what you would do?
I'm just throwing it out there as a question.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
Yeah.
We got all the answers for you tonight, baby. Wow.
Next question?
Next question, also from Mr. Felicia. What NHL-focused pinball machines are out there? Because he has a friend that would really like to know for his man cave. Aaron, I've seen a few.
You've got body or power play.
Oh, yeah?
That's the one that's similar to Fast Break, right?
No. This one is from 1978, maybe. Somewhere around there, late 70s. It's not a bad machine, but that means you'd have a Blackhawks-themed machine in your basement. So I'm pretty sure you don't want to do that.
I think we saw that one at Pinburg last
year,
right?
Yeah. And then they actually have one at the NHL Hall of Fame as well. That's ensconced in plexiglass. And it's not even it's like a beat to hell machine. So it's like, even if they had it there and it wasn't in plexiglass, it's not like some sort of rare machine.
Yeah.
A quick search just brought up Williams Olympic hockey pinball as well.
I think I may have played that one.
I don't remember the name of it, but the two-player one that we played, that was actually a fairly fun game.
The head-to-head one?
Yeah, head-to-head pinball that kind of
Stanley Cup one
shifted from side to side.
Yes, it would be that guy. It's a beast of a machine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to imagine moving it because it's basically two pinball machines back to back with no back glass.
Yeah.
So, and what happens is the play field will tilt.
Right. Yep.
There's a shot of it in Kenny's screen there. Yep. It is a giant, giant machine. It was fun though. It was real fun.
Yes, we had a great time playing that.
I don't know how much replayability it has because I think we played it like two or three times. And we're like, okay, moving on.
But I think if he's gonna go that route, I would say go with bubble hockey.
Ooh,
bubble hockey's good.
Yes.
But the thing is, unless you're some sort of next level loser, you're probably not playing bubble hockey on your own. Whereas at least a pinball machine you can play.
This is true.
Play on your own and
Well, that's another point for that two-player pinball one, too.
Oh, yeah, true.
It's really only best played with a couple of people as opposed to the single player. But, yeah.
Yeah, but to Derek, answer your question, I've got some machine ideas for you. I'll hit you up on Twitter. I got some good advice when I was looking for one of my first machines, so you just got to... You gotta look for machines that are mass produced because that way there's a lot of people that have fixed the problems on those machines
and parts you can find.
That goes a long way. I mean, you can buy some cheap machine for a couple hundred bucks, from the 70s, that'll probably be fun, but good luck finding anyone who's seen that machine the last, you know, 2 decades. So there's my 2 cents. Don't get me started about pinball. So
shut up.
So there we have it. Twitter talk. I think we're done. Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
Most of it on Twitter and Instagram at NostraKenius. You can read all my new haikus.
Oh yeah, you got any for display for us?
Well, I tweeted one earlier.
Oh, okay.
Here, would you like me to read it for us?
Sure.
Going live shortly. 3 in the box at the helm. Watch us on YouTube. Mind blown.
Humanga's big.
All right.
Nope.
Jai, where can people find what you're up to?
You can find me. I'm on Twitter. Busy guy lately.
Find Jai at the bank.
Yeah, I'm at Jive Midnight. So.
As for myself, you can find everything I'm up to at about.me/TheAaron. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at 3inTheBox. If you got questions, send us those tweets, hashtag 3ITB, and we'll try to read them on the show. You can download us at 3inTheBox.com or through your favorite podcast player. That's it for this week's show. Thank you.